Blog Talk Radio.
And I hope y'all feel like real men and women should also. So tonight on the Daily Go Get a Business Show, we are talking about a bad contract or bad surgery. But we're not asking you to choose between the two because I think that they are both horrible, terrible, and they make you feel horrible and terrible. But they are both something that we have to deal with in this life. And when you really think about the two, you are feeling so optimistic before you do either of those bad two. Before you sign a bad contract, you be feeling good about the contract. Like, yo, I got signed, man. I got a deal. I just signed a bad book deal. You ain't know it was bad. You just called it a book deal. You just signed a bad record contract. Yo, I got a recording contract. I got a producing contract. I'm going to get all my points. Only to realize, like, yo, that's not what you signed. You should have got a lawyer to look at you. But you wanted to be on. How many rappers, how many R&B singers, how many recording artists have signed a bad contract? There are some that are notable. There are some that were so bad that they made it out into the public. TLC, Tony Braxton, who else? Who else? What are some of the notable bad contracts that you that we have known about over the years? Just about all of the up and coming rock and roll pioneers, you know, they had that movie Elvis out now or recently or whatever, and they were talking about how those early rock and roll pioneers like the Chuck Berrys and the Little Richards and the Fat Dominoes and all of those cats, how they had bad record deals. They wasn't getting no points on their records. They didn't know nothing about James Brown. James Brown, horrible contract. The reason why James Brown was able to beat those bad contracts was because he toured so much, he worked so much, and even though he wasn't making nowhere near the kind of money that he should have been making off of those records, he still had some stake in his, he still had some claim in his contracts. So they were bad, he was uneducated, he didn't know, but he was able to still make money, you know. Other recording artists weren't that lucky. And there were so many artists that were stolen from, had their points stolen from them, their ASCAP, aka their publishing. So your songs are being played on the radio to this day for the last 60, 70 years, and you're not receiving any royalties because you sold your publishing in the beginning in a bad contract. But there are other bad contracts that we have signed, and people that we know have signed outside of the music industry, outside of the entertainment industry. We know of some. You probably signed. Shoot, many of y'all running around here with credit cards, and it's a bad contract. You signed that bitch. Like, listen, I'm getting a credit card, my credit. What's my, all we be thinking about is a credit limit. It's a bad contract. You go look at the terms and conditions of your credit card, and you see 28.5. 28.5 APR? Do you realize what will happen if you don't pay those credit cards off? You will wind up paying double and triple over a year or two. Hardly getting the principal down. And it's a bad contract. Many of us have signed it. Many of us are running around with those credit cards in our pocket right now. Some of us know better, and we still did the shit. Well, it was Christmas time. You know what I mean? It was one of those rough Christmas times. You know, it was the Christmas of 2016, and money was tight. And so I got the credit card, and I ran that bitch up. But it was a good Christmas that year. I figured I would go ahead and use the credit card running up, and then I would pay it off. I would pay it off during tax time. Now you ran up a $10,000 limit credit card, and your tax return was only $4,000. Well, how you gonna pay that off? Well, I mean, maybe I wouldn't pay it off, but I could pay it down. Bad contract. You know what else is a bad contract for us that we hardly ever think about? Car notes. Many of y'all are paying for a car. Before, in the glory days, a finance contract, a car loan, was 48 months, which was 4 years, or 60 months, 5 years. Now they got 72 months. They got 84 months. Paying off a car for 7 years. You know how many people are doing that shit? You may have known people. You may know people, or it might be you. You know damn well even make $55,000 a year, and you running around here with a $55,000 car. Well, how did you afford it? Got good credit. No money down. 7 year contract. No money down. 7 year contract. No money down. 7 year contract. You ain't know how to act. Got you a new ride. Took a couple of days. off so you could ride with your friends and fam and your kids. You did that shit. Yeah, that's what you did. And it was about sort of like a bit, 7 years. You could barely pay that shit off, real. Yeah, and yet in the rear, this shit, tell me I'm lying. When I start lying to y'all, please let me know. Please let me know. Car notes, bad contract. Oh yeah, and there's an APR on those car notes. Now, if your credit was good to the point where you could walk out of there without paying any money, then more than likely your finance rate was good too, like somewhere between 0% and 5% APR. Then there's y'all, you know, whose credit score might be in the average category, somewhere between 600 and 700. Between 600 and 700. Average. And when you have average credit, when you have an average credit score, yeah, now it could go your way or it could not go your way. One thing is for sure, you're going to get the loan. You're going to get the credit card. You're going to be able to qualify for any type of credit. You will. You'll qualify. But that APR going to be high ass. It's going to be high ass. But not as bad as it would be if you was in, if your credit score was in the fives. But nonetheless, it's a bad contract. And that's what we're talking about tonight. It's a bad contract. And coincidentally, you was feeling good about the contract in the beginning. Like, all right, you know, all I got to do is pay a little bit more money toward the principal every month. And I can reduce the term of the loan from 7 years down to 5 years. That's what you'd be thinking. You ain't mapped that shit out. You ain't put no pen to paper. You ain't keyed in no digits. You just heard somebody else talking about it. Like, yeah, I bought this house. I bought this house that I really can't afford. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't introduce your mortgage as a bad contract. Yeah, many people have done that. You went and bought a house that you couldn't afford. Now, normally, realtors try to keep you from doing that because they don't want to see people go in foreclosure or whatever, because it doesn't bode well for anybody. Not even the mortgage company. They want you to finish paying off that loan. You know why? Because it's 30 years. They would love to keep you on the hook for 30 years. They don't want to have to refi that house. They don't want to have to resell that house because those are going to be months that the house is sitting where you don't get it. Narcissist was talking about, bad. Oh, yeah, New Edition. Ooh. Narcissist said BDP. Ooh. Ansel Jones. NWA. Ooh. Well, not the whole NWA. Eazy-E. Getting all the money, baby. Getting all the money. And Jerry was stealing from him too, right? But yeah, so we know about bad contracts in entertainment, but we also know about bad contracts in our personal lives that we don't really think about. But we all know somebody that's in over their head paying a car note or a mortgage or whatever, and don't they be bitching? Signing the contract is bad, baby. It's bad, baby. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Daily Go Get a Business Show. We are talking about a bad contract or a bad surgery. We're about to get to this bad surgery talk in a minute. We're talking about these contracts right now, these contracts. Have you ever signed a bad contract? Or when was the last time you signed a bad contract? Or are you still paying off? Are you still paying off a bad contract? A bad contract. Shout out my people's Carol Chamber, Lynn, me friend, me favorita. Always good to me to see ya. And my brother Ansel Jones, Baltimore Brothers, girls just can't leave alone. And T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people's go with bright in your sight. And now, brother from another mother, Norrisville. The back, relax, do your thing, Max and Chill and Stacey White, y'all. And thanks for coming through tonight, y'all. And I appreciate me. That's right, y'all. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Sign a bad contract. You see this? You see this? That's a red onion skin. All big. Red onion. Cola ring. My ring tastes right. That's right. The ring tastes right. That. Okay. Okay. All right. Hold on. Hold on, y'all. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. All right. Ansel Jones says, you're responsible for what you signed. That's true. That's true. But you can't, if you can prove that there was predatory lending or something like that, that you can get contracts adjusted. But then you wind up spending more money on lawyers and all of that kind of stuff. So are you really saving anything in the long run? You might be putting a bullet on a Band-Aid wound, but you still spend, in order to save money from a bad contract, you got to spend more money. That's the problem. You spend more money, try not to spend more money later. Narcil says, I'm reading a book that has words that I need to seek the definition. With that being said, I've heard enough cautionary tales about getting immersed in interest debt. I'm trying to tell you, interest is what rules the world. That's what capitalism is all about, interest payment. You know, people mad at Joe Biden right now because some people paid off their student loan and he got this student loan forgiveness program going on. So motherfuckers running around here talking about something. Well, you know, I paid off my loan and everybody else getting forgiven. How come I can't get my money back that I paid? Because you paid. Nobody is gonna demonize you or punish you for being responsible. You paid it off because that's what you were supposed to do. That's what everybody who's getting a loan forgiveness is supposed to do too. But to me, bitching because somebody else is going to not be able, is going to get away with not having to do what you did in order to get ahead, that's straight old head hater shit. That's like saying, well, yeah, I escaped slavery or I paid my way out of slavery. And then they come up with this Emancipation Proclamation shit. So that y'all just get to be free for nothing. I had to work and pay for my freedom. Like, man, you shut your slave ass down. I mean, shut your slave ass up. You know what I mean? You're going to become a Karen out in this world. No, it says, my rule of thumb is not to get involved with predatory loans, especially payday loans. Woo! Woo! Payday loans. You can put your car up as collateral for a loan. How do you call it? Auto. I can't remember exactly how they put it, but it ain't a good look. Nara says, if I don't need it, I can't afford it. Okay. I hear you, though. But, yeah, it's real. It's real. You can get caught up. But when you sign a bad contract, it's like, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Because you be thinking about all the things that you're going to get. And that's how they prey on you. That's how the predatory lenders, that's how they prey on you. That's how record companies, film companies and studios and all that kind of stuff, that's how they get you. Credit card, that's how they get you. Because you're thinking about what you can have right now. And how everybody is looking at you right now. You're thinking, like, down, you know, they're going to take care of me. Yeah, I didn't get the best contract. But, you know, they're going to take care of me down the line. You wanted to be on. As a matter of fact, some of us lie on applications in order to get a bad loan. And ain't that about it? You lied on your application to say that you had more than what you had, or your resume, you know, in order to get a company to sign you. Because you think, if I didn't get it right now, then it probably wouldn't be available later. And that is untrue. Some of us sign bad work contracts. Yes, plenty of us have signed bad work contracts. You got a new job. You signed on for a salary that really wasn't suitable for your lifestyle. You took it anyway because you figured, well, I could move up in the company. You get in the company and you didn't move up, or they wouldn't allow you to move up. They said, no, we're going to keep you here for a minute. We need you over here. So you might have been used to making $75,000 a year, but you took the $67,000 a year. Okay, you could argue that's only $8,000, less. Oh, yeah? You know what $8,000 can get you? Put $8,000 in your pocket and see if your pockets ain't fat. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to look at it that way. Even though they're going to tax the money and all of that kind of stuff, so it's not going to wind up being $8,000. But put $8,000, if you've ever had $8,000 in your pockets in all 20s, I don't care if it's all 100s, you got a hellified knot. It ain't even going to fit all in one pocket. Yeah. That's a hellified knot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're losing a year. So $8,000 a year, that's the difference on your paycheck every other week of a couple of hundred dollars. If it's okay with you, it's okay with me. It's not okay with me. That's a couple of hundred dollars easy. It's more like $250. Yeah, it gets deep like that. It's like $250. Might be 300. Might be 300. So you want to handle that. You signed a bad contract for the job. You can quit. You can quit. But you might mess around and quit and go get another bad contract. Looking for opportunity. But see, that's how it is when you sign a bad contract. You're looking for an opportunity. You're looking for a way. You're looking for a better life. You're looking for a better chance. You're looking for a way to get free, to get right. You're trying to be live out here in these streets. So, bad contract is something we got to deal with. That's something we got to deal with, and we be dealing with it, don't we? Let's talk about these bad surgeries. A bad surgery. First of all, if you're not afraid to go under the knife, yo, holler at me. Holler at me. If you don't care about nobody cutting on you, yo, tell me. Yo, tell me. If you're not afraid, not nervous, don't give a shit, you are totally impervious to getting cut away, stitched up, back up today. If you don't have any concerns about surgery, then you're a hell of a man or woman. Because any and every surgery carries the risk of not making it. Everyone, whether it's, you know, complications with the anesthesia, somebody could slip, cut an artery, not be able to repair it, and your ass bleed out. You went in there for a routine day procedure. You were supposed to come home that day. You never came home again. And it happened. And like I said, you sign a bad contract when you get a bad surgery. So how many bad surgeries do we know of? Man, we know of a lot of them, don't we? We know of a lot of bad surgeries. We know of a lot of people who have allowed themselves to get cut on, and they basically got cut up. Bad surgery. Cosmetic surgery, we look at all of these chicks out here getting BBLs. We look at all of these chicks out here getting breast reductions and breast implants. And we look at Lil' Kim and we see one big bad surgery. all broken up. We looked at Michael Jackson. We saw one big bad surgery, all broken up. When you can't even count the number of surgeries that you can visibly see on a person, you know it's real out there. We got people out here getting sneak surgery. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about how bad people look, but we know about bad surgeries. And each one of those bad surgeries have carried life-threatening consequences. Life-threatening consequences. But just like signing that bad contract, we only looking at the benefits. I want to lose this weight. I haven't been able to lose this weight. I've tried everything. I've jumped up and down. I've ran all around. I can't lose this weight. I need some help. Okay. That's funny because the bigger you are with weight loss surgery, they make you lose weight before they'll give you the surgery. If you can lose a lot of weight to get down to qualify in order to get weight loss surgery so you can lose more weight, then you can lose the weight. You ever watch that show, My 600-Pound Life? They make them lose weight. Listen, I need you to drop 100 pounds because it's too big of a risk for us to cut on you as big as you are. So we need you to drop 50. Then we need you to drop another 50, and they be doing it. And I'm like, well, if you can lose 100 pounds on your own, then you can lose 200. You can lose 200, you can lose 300. You don't need that surgery. You need another threat. You need the threat of surgery. Man, shout out to my black queens out there, man. It's a sad state of affairs for us. Because the media got us by the neck, man. We playing hangman with our, they playing hangman with our self-esteem. Now, we used to, I've bitched plenty of times about weaves and makeup and eyelashes, fake eyelashes and all of that. But I tell you what, if given the choice between those things and cosmetic surgery, I'm going to take a weave, makeup, and eyelashes all day because at least I can remove those things on a daily basis. I could probably talk you into or talk you out of doing yourself that way or feeling that way. But once you get that surgery, you open up a whole new can of worms. And since we're talking about a bad surgery, how many of y'all have seen a bad butt surgery, a bad breast surgery? Shit be leaking. We know what a bad facial surgery looked like, looking all crazy. Phyllis Diller, what was her name? What was the white comedian name? She had got a bunch of work done. She's dead now. I think she used to be on Joan Rivers. There you go. Thank you. Joan Rivers. Man, if she went to heaven, I know God was like, who the hell are you? Let me see your ID. Joan Rivers looked terrible. Lil' Kim looked terrible. Michael Jackson looked terrible. At least with Michael Jackson and Lil' Kim, by all accounts, they were very good-looking people before they got the surgery. By all accounts, I've never heard anybody say, well, no, Michael Jackson was ugly before he got the surgery. That's why he got it. No, I've never heard anybody say that. He was a handsome man. He was a handsome black man, and he could grow a good afro. Not everybody can do that. It wasn't easy. And it's funny because if we were able to grow our afros that big at that time, why would we get a weave later on?
Well, Michael Jackson did burn his hair. But that was, he had a Jerry curl at the time. I don't know. No, it says, I knocked off a debt in 6 months before getting hit with a 30% interest rate. Forget paying just the minimum. Yeah, no doubt. The side effects of surgery are half the commercial. Oh my God, yeah. And they just talking about, well, a lot of times those commercials are just about pharmaceutical drugs and shit. They be talking about the side effects of that. I've never seen a commercial where they were talking about getting surgery. But anyway, yeah, you sign a bad contract before you get the surgery in the United States. That's why a lot of people go outside of the United States to get what they want. Like the doctor told you, no, this is not a good surgery for you. It's not a good look. We ain't doing it. You said, all right, take my ass down to Dominica. Take my ass down to Mexico or DR, and they'll do whatever I want to. Whatever I want them to do with they dirty ass utensils and Infection City. You ever seen somebody with a botched butt job? Asshole sunken in, looking crazy. You can't fix that. You can't fix that. It's not even the price of fame. You got regular chicks out here, they just want a fat old ass. You know, side effects. When we sign those bad contracts and get those bad surgeries, what we're not taking into consideration is how nature works. See, nature is going to make you look the way that you really look. It doesn't care about the way that you like to look. It doesn't care about how you want to look. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. It's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. And that's you like it or lump it. So you can change whatever you want to in the immediate sense. Later on, nature is going to grow around it, grow into it, and it's going to make things lumpy, bumpy, and frumpy. Lumpy, bumpy, and frumpy. And so Jones says, deflated balloon body. Kanye West's mom is dead to this day because of a bad breast surgery. She's dead. And a lot of people say that that's the reason why he started going off the deep end. Let me tell y'all this. Kanye West ain't crazy. He's silly, but he ain't crazy. He certainly ain't stupid. You know what I mean? He may have some mental defects like many of us do, but they're workable. They're operable. It ain't like that. Shoot, that man that made $1 billion since his mom left. But that's how she died. Donta West. Bad breast surgery. Was she getting implants or was she getting a reduction? I think she was getting a reduction. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. Let's see. Let's see. He was heading for. Hold on. How did Kanye West's mom die? Oh, we got to do this twice.
according to Kim.
How did Kanye West's mom die? What the fuck?
According to LinkedIn.com, Connie W.
How did Kanye West's mom die? Man, fuck this.
Apparent heart attack. According to APnews.com, Washington, California, underscore Connie Valenzuela, the mother of the late rock singer Richie Valens, has died of an apparent heart attack. She was 72.
There we go. God damn it. All right. Donda West, Kanye West's mom, a musical muse who died after cosmetic surgery. The rap superstar. How did she die? Get the fuck out of here. Sheesh. Okay. Okay. So she died after cosmetic surgery that at least one doctor told her could be dangerous. Sources say that Donda West, who was 58 at the time, received a combination breast reduction and tummy tuck and likely suffered uncontrolled bleeding after going home to recover from the radical operation. Oh, she got a tummy tuck too. So she tried to get rid of her titties and her tummy. Surgery. I'm sorry. One plastic surgeon who saw Donda West in June said that he recommended she get a cardiac stress test from an internist because of her age. He said she also asked if she could recuperate at home. He said no. Donda was pushing me. Can I go home after surgery? But I told her it just doesn't work that way, said Dr. Andre Abolian of Beverly Hills. The most dangerous time after surgery is the first 48 hours. I told her you have to go to an overnight care facility with nurses who look after you. Abolian called West a sweet woman who almost talked herself out of the procedure during the conversation. Yeah. She was 58 years old, damn near 60 years old, and you decided to get a breast reduction. She said, my body is a star. I'm gonna be out there having to look, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, but that's what had happened. Man, that's a terrible thing. It really is. That's just a terrible thing. Terrible. But now, ironically, it doesn't sound like she signed a bad contract. She decided to make it bad on herself. Now, that's considering if there's no further information about that situation. Like, I don't know if they're 100% telling the truth. But that's what I don't believe that Kanye West ever sued for damages concerning his mom's death. I don't know about that. If y'all know something, you know, let me know. But I hadn't heard it anything like that, which says a lot. That says a lot. Anyway. Yeah, a bad surgery is often visible, but there's some bad surgeries that aren't visible. There's some bad surgeries where people, you know, doctors have left utensils, sponges, scissors inside of people. You know, all kinds of irresponsibility goes down in operating rooms. You'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised. That's why, you know, getting a surgery for a non-life-threatening situation, to me, it just doesn't seem a good move. It doesn't seem like a smart thing to do to me. I have yet to hear a black woman say, I want Becky or flat butt surgery. Yeah, you might be on to something that right there, brother. You might be on to something right there. But there have been black women who have been bulimic and anorexic. So, we ain't all the way out of the fire. We ain't all the way out of the fire. Through the fire, through the limit, to the wall. To have my chance at loving you, I'd gladly risk it all. All right. What we going to do? What we going to do? We going to get on up out of here. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. August 29th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Angelique D's Peace. And also, Ricardo McIntyre, turning 39 years old today. No relation, but what up, guys? And also, my man, Lee Burgess. And Lee is raising money for the fundraiser for Alzheimer's Association. Good looking out. And Shanique Messiah, turning 42 years old today. And Benita Benso, turning 60 years old today. And Carissa. R. McIntyre, no relation, but what up, guys? Yo, my people, yeah. And happy birthday to you, Carissa. And also my girl, Rochelle Grant, living in Texas, originally from Philly. And Louise Scrutchins, happy birthday to you. And Achilles Cedric Chico Curbison, turning 58 years old today. And last but not least, my real cuz, my blood cuz, my love cuz, my man, Big Truck Fred Neal, turning 52 years old today, because he's a 1970 baby with the blind, with the crippled, the crazy. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. August 29th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I hope that today finds you a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Y'all rock out, rock on, and do the damn thing. It's also the late, great Michael Jackson's birth, so we send a posthumous happy birthday shout out to you, Mike. Know what I mean? Okay. Okay, good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, bad contract, bad surgery, none of them are good for you, and it can make you start rethinking your whole program as far as whether your judgment is good. You know, did you zig when you should have zagged? Did you act when you should have maybe just, you know, waited? It can question whether you have the patience to persevere out there. But hopefully, with the bad contract, you stay in the game and learn enough to be able to recover from that. With surgery, it's a little different.
because your recovery is not always guaranteed. Some people have been fucked up for life because of a surgery, because of a bad surgery. Whether they signed a bad contract that went along with that or sparked that or not. Be careful out there, brothers and sisters. Be careful. All right, man. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all back to life. Make sure y'all hit that like button on your way out. Make sure y'all share the show. And make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. So, Blog Talk, we gonna get you out of here.